really encourage you to read this thing about Avatar, the Savior, and this Hindu stuff. You got some information to tell some people there that I don't think they're recognized when they go to the movies. They can take it. They're strong. They've got God's grace. I know all that stuff. They probably don't even recognize the dangers of it when they see it. But anyway, tonight, where's my clock? There we go. We're in 6 minutes. Okay, we can do this. Tonight, we're going to continue with the letter P. I was looking at my Jeremiah note. I'm talking too loud. I'm looking at my Jeremiah notes. And the four chapters I have up there are really pretty decent as far as Paul goes and everything. So I'll probably try to do some overall overlookage or whatever of Jeremiah. We have a lot in common with Jeremiah, except we have a lot not in common with Jeremiah. And he's after the kingdom of this earth. He was after the kingdom of heaven as such. He wanted them to get right then and there, and God would have fixed it and all that stuff. He was telling people they were rejecting God's words. So, yeah, that's we got the same message. So we'll talk about that Wednesday night. Tonight we're doing the letter P. Tonight's message, as I say, is brought to you by the letter P. And we're going to look at maybe two quick ones. One full one. There might be time for a bonus one. I really have a hard time not wanting to talk about all that I learn, all that I study and read when I get around to it. So we're looking at plainness of speech. Something that Paul was famous for, supposedly. People that we talk to seem to think that we're not. We're too confusing, or we confound them. We know that the truth confounds the lost and the confused. But let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And it says here, chapter 3, verse 12, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech." So, look at that verse. We have such hope that we don't need to try to find a way to manipulate our words so we can get them to see it. So what he says there. Seeing them that we have such hope. So that, let me see who's online here tonight here. Not everybody. I'd like to be there, but you know, we try to figure out a way to tell people all the stuff that's going on. We try to tell them about the gold standard. We try to tell them about music. We try to tell them of all this stuff. Try to get them, give them books. We give them pamphlets. We give all sorts of stuff to see if we can't find a way to get them to see what it is. And we get frustrated when we don't see that increase, even though we know the increase is of God, but, you know, whatever. And this verse says, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech." So he explains the reason why this plainness of speech is okay. Because we have such hope. Not that we hope they're going to get it, but we have such hope. And what's coming up, we know what's true. We know the Bible's the Word of God. We shouldn't let things bother us. All the pressure put on us, we're trying to live a better life. We're trying to get into Paul's manner of life. We're saying no to some things that we don't want to watch anymore. And we fight these battles. But we just need plainness of speech. We don't need all the stuff that this world is trying to come up with to get people to see it. Unfortunately, the more complicated it is, the more people follow that. I learned yesterday, or 2 days ago, I guess, I have to come up with something called a rubric, it's not that Rubik thing, that square thing of all the little color squares that I never in a million years of my life depended on it, I would die, because I can't do that thing. I suppose some of you out there, Sam, you'd be in the submarine captain and all that kind of wisdom, you probably whip that thing and you're done, but it's something else. I got to find a way. It's a way to evaluate performance of kids in a band thing. I'm looking at this going, this is just hogwash, educational, jargon, garbage that make sure that the teachers are busy. So I got to come up with that junk. So we come up with this educational lingo that is just ridiculous. And yet people follow that. We got one of our teacher messages, emails here, and it was about how to not get loud and get angry at the kid and get this long explanation about how you're supposed to hold yourself back and all that stuff. All I could think of were what God says, soft answer, turneth away wrath. Boom. It stated it. That's all we need to know. You don't need this long dissertation of why it is you need to talk quietly to kids. No, you can talk quietly to kids. You don't get them stirred up and you put the discipline thing on them and you're done. We all have a hard time with that as parents. We strike out and we get mad and angry. I get mad and angry. I shouldn't. Soft answer turneth away wrath. It's pride. It's a pride thing. You get your feelings hurt, so you want to hurt back. So whatever. So anyway, we use great plainness of speech. So if you don't mind me looking tremendously comfortable here, I do like this. This is probably, but you can be comfortable. Why can't I be comfortable? You know how this works? Let me see a yes on there. Hey, I got a tie on still. That's okay, right? There we go. Yep, well, that sounds good. Yep. So plainness. Listen to what plainness means here. Levelness, evenness or surface. Want of ornament, want of artificial show. You know, just plain. None of this fancy stuff. None of this fancy stuff. You know, and I do believe that comes into our modesty thing too. To be plain. To be not fancy. Hair, not fancy. That's why I get this thing about jewelry can get me tweaking, because that looks pretty fancy. You know, on the ear and the, you know, all that kind of stuff. Thought I'd throw that in. Openness, rough, blunt, or unrefined frankness. That's plainness, just to the point. Short and to the point. Don't chew your fingernails. That's plain. No long fear about how to say that to somebody. Just, hey, you know, I got kids all over the school that chew their fingernails. Their life must just be one stress. And these are little kids. I get to teach tomorrow, Tuesday, 29 little kindergartners. Put them all together into one class. Doesn't that sound exciting? 29 little kindergartners, I'm telling you, they can't even sit still, let alone hit something the same time I say, I point and say, can they hit the bell just the same time I do? All over the place. Some of them don't even hit the bell. These are weird little creatures, but they're cute. We all ought to have one around the house at least once in our life. So now Paul goes on and says here about his speech. So we're going to look at Paul's speech tonight. Plainness of speech, letter P. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 6. Paul says, I need to give you time to go there. You do have your Bibles, right? And all that stuff. That's good. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. So here's a place where Paul says, though I be rude in speech. Why would he be rude? You think he's rude like the Ruckman rude? I don't think he was rude like that. I think he was just to the point. Because he says, plainness of speech. You know, your wife asked you, does this dress look good on me? No. Well, why not? No, you didn't ask me that. It just doesn't look good on you. That's all. No big thing. You should change. That's simple, to the point, plainness of speech. And would be considered rude, I suppose. Yet not in knowledge, he said. Well, why would Paul be rude in knowledge? He's been with the Savior. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 19, but I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Ah, see, so if you read that thing incorrectly, you read where, see, that it isn't important of the Bible. It says, for the kingdom of God is not in word. Well, it's in the King James Bible. Is the Bible the power? No, it's the power that's in there. It's the Spirit of God that's in there. We're not saying that the Bible is the power. It's just this is where the Spirit of God is at. This is the mouth of the Lord right here. So, there are people out there that are puffed up with their speech. We'll get to some of them in a minute here. But Paul didn't want to come to them puffed up with his knowledge and with words. Matter of fact, I need to change that into my notes. That would be a good verse for this thing down here. Okay, we got it. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4. Paul will say, great is my boldness of speech toward you. That's being pretty bold to tell your wife that, no, that dress doesn't look good on you. Or for the ladies to tell the man, you know, those jeans aren't right. Or to tell your children, no, you can't watch. Or to tell your parents, no, I'm not going to watch. That's bold and very simple. I'm not going to go there. That kind of stuff. That's plainness of speech. And it's bold. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorifying of you. I'm filled with comfort. I'm exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Wouldn't it be nice for a pastor to be able to be bold and just, in very plainness of speech, say what he needs to say, and then have everybody go, well, amen. You know, I was thinking today, when I first tried this pastor routine, and I thought, well, I know my Bible fairly well, and these people are King James Bible people. All I got to do is go to church and do a sermon that I tell people what this Bible says. I don't have to manipulate anything. I'll just tell them what the Bible says. And they'll be thrilled. They'll change their lives. They'll have a great time, and we'll just be thrilled and hunky-dory. Well, it certainly didn't work that way. I know right now of some situations going on in people's lives or back at the church or whatever that somebody needs to just flat tell them what's wrong, what's going on in their family. Tell the husbands what's going on. And I've had men tell me, go ahead, we can take the sermon. We can take the preaching. We're tough. We're men in the Bible meeting. And then have them get really mad at me after the sermon. So they don't mean that when they tell you that. If anybody tells you, go ahead, tell me. Be honest. I don't recommend it, other than as part of your precious stones if you're honest with somebody. Tell them the truth. I'm not very good at bold, simple plainness of speech. I don't want to lose friends, but like that really matters anymore, right? Here's another one. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10. Got any comments out there? Yep. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak, and his speech is contemptible. I like this. For his letters, say they. Who's they? Remember all these people, they don't like your sermon. They think you're too loud. They think you should go back to the Old Testament. They think that you should go to Revelation. They think that you should dress better. Who's they? Who are these people, they? Anyway, whatever. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful. He wrote really well. Well, we have his letters right here. That's good. But his bodily presence is weak. So? I've always wondered, I always knew people didn't come to Touche Church to see me because of my bodily presence. And you're not there tonight, so you can see me on cam. Oh, wow, look at that bodily presence. That bodily presence looks a little bigger than it used to. Well, I got to work on that. My wife is gone. I've just been having, I'm telling you, the hamburger out here is Angus beef, black Angus, and it's grain-fed, I think they call it, or grass-fed, or what it is. Grass-fed. Oh, I made two hamburgers yesterday. Ah, the inside was just red. The bread was red. It wasn't tomato ketchup either. It's just, it tasted so good. So anyway, I'm kind of growing here. Bodily presence is weak, all right. And his speech is contemptible. You know, anyway, I just put yakking here. Yeah, my bodily presence is weighty. Anyway, Acts chapter 26, verse 25. This is where Paul says that, or Festus says to Paul, you're mad. And Paul said, Festus, he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. Honestly, I'm not sure we could handle Paul if you were to talk to us. He'd just be blunt. What is this video? What are you watching? Why do you watch videos in the first place? Why do you go here? What are you wearing that for? I mean, he'd just be blunt and he would do it. He would do it with love, and he would care. He would, you know, we've read his words, but he's very, very plain with his speech. Open, artlessness, simplicity, candor, clearness, sincerity, to the point. Like little kids, I had a thing taken off my cheek a couple of weeks ago to see if I can go to heaven earlier than planned, and I guess I can't. It wasn't anything, and I had this patch on my face. And I walked in the kindergarten kids. I mean, they don't walk in the door and they kind of gasp and they say, what happened to you? First graders, they gasp, what happened to you? And I got to tell these little kids what's going on, all that stuff. And, you know, those kids, they're very plain. Why do you have this knobber on your nose, Grandpa? And you're embarrassed of it and all that kind of stuff. So Paul speaks forth the words of truth. And the words of truth are plain. They're simple. Great plainness of speech, he says. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words, just to the point, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Sound words. Hold fast. King James Bible, sound words. Hold fast. The way you talk to people. Be plain. Plainness of speech. You know, listen to yourself. You're going to be justifying. You're going to be, what did it say? Not oohing and aahing, but you're going to be stumbling over yourself to explain to somebody why you don't do something. Just be simple. Be plain. Tell them. Why are you dressed the way you do? Be simple. Tell them why. If they don't like it, explain to them in plain speech and be done with it. That's all you can do. He and a hon, think that's what it is. He and a hon, I'm going to try to explain why you do this.
That's not it. He haunt? No, what is that word? What do you? Somebody help me out there. He haunt or something. I don't know. You're stumbling over yourself. There's one. You're stumbling over yourself because you really just don't want to say that I want to dress to please God and believe this pleases God. I'm not going to watch that because I don't think it's right. Go ahead. Say it. Be brave. I know. Actions sometimes speak. Just get up and leave. That's probably plenty. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, hemming and hawing. There it is. Hemming and hawing. Who says that? Mark, you always got the right answers. Hemming and hawing. There we go. I don't sew, so it's a different kind of hemming. Okay, 1 Timothy 6:3. I'm starting to like this office thing here. I'm starting to feel cozy here. 1 Timothy 6:3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words. So Paul spoke wholesome words. Even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember? Christ told Paul, he's going to tell him what I tell you to tell everybody. So yeah, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. And that's Paul's teachings right there. Plainness of speech. Then he says in 1 Timothy 4:6, are you all there? 1 Timothy 4:6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. Is that what's going on in your church? Is that what's going on here? Is that what's going on in your life, in your reading? So those are the things that Paul does in plainness of speech. Now let's look at the things that he doesn't do. Here's what he doesn't do. And this is what everybody out there does. By the way, I had somebody tell me the other day that they believe that I've developed this whole thing so I can believe what I want. How's that? Is that a good one? That's a good one. Romans 16, verse 18. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the sinful. You know why people watch these movies because somebody tells them, here's a good movie. This is a great movie about Christian marriage, blah, 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 blah. And these good words and fair speeches, they get them to, they deceive them. Paul doesn't use good words and fair speeches, he uses the scriptures. What God told him to say. Plainness of speech. Here's one. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. Ephesians 5, verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. This world out there is living following vain words. Paul didn't use vain words. He was simple. Plainness of speech. Words of truth and soberness. Sound words. Words of faith and of good doctrine. He didn't have to come up with some speech. He didn't have to come up with something that really makes everybody have the good, you know, talk everybody into it kind of a thing. Anyway. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. Here's another one. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. Boy, we are enticeable. We're enticeable. Somebody can talk about how good you look, or come over to here, it'll be great, and come to this place, the music is marvelous, and our pastor is a marvelous guy, and they'll give you money, and they'll help you, and all whatever they can do to entice you to come along, they'll do that. And it's frustrating because somebody, for example, here's one. Somebody would say to you, hey, if you come visit my church, I'll visit yours. And here's why you should come visit my church, and entice you to come, because I'll come to your church. I don't know of anybody yet that got some of my people, as you would say, to go to visit their church. Did they ever come back to visit our church? They were enticed. And you don't have to use enticing words to get them to come to this Bible study or this sermon on the website. If they want the truth, here it is. If they want a guy that's who I am like this, well, if they don't want a guy like this, oh well, you're not here for me. You're here to hear the truth. And the truth is the Word of God, the King James Bible, not me. Anyway, you know that. So, we don't need to entice people. The Word of God will do it. But those people out there are being beguiled, tricked with enticing words. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 2:4, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You ever had anybody get mad at you when you told them some scriptures? That's demonstration of the spirit and of power, because the devil hates it. Why did this guy get on the internet tonight and want to say, Satan, pray Satan? Who cares? What does that bother? Does that bother us? It doesn't bother us any. That's his problem. He's been beguiled by enticing words. Somebody enticed him to the ways of Satan or whatever. And we don't try to go out of our way to entice people to Paul. Tell them the truth. Your sins are forgiven. They won't impute them to you again. Here's what Christ did at the cross. Here, you know, all those things. That's not enticing. Pretty marvelous stuff, but it's not enticing. It's truth. Movies. Doctrine that's in there. The entertainment, the music, the special effects is enticing people to learn some false doctrine. That's a good point. I just thought of that right off the see like that. Music is very enticing to get people to come to church, and it's beguiling people. And movies. I wouldn't be surprised at all that those movies, these modern movies, will be played in churches. Probably already are. Okay, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Go down to verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. So now here you go. Here are these Christians out there. I'm talking too loud again. Here are these Christians out there who are thinking that the Holy Spirit's talking to them. Mark, you dealt with one of those today. They think that the Holy Spirit's talking to them. And so they think God, and they do that because they think they're good enough Christians. That God will then talk to them and guide them. And you try to tell them, well, this comes from this Word of God, the Bible. And they don't get it. We find ourselves trying to try to trick them, entice them into getting this point. No, just tell them the truth and be done with it. So this guy, which not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, well, man's wisdom has taught those people that God speaks to them in their heart. So yeah, that's false. This is an interesting one. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 1, 17. When I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness? Paul says. Or the things that I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? And I'm guilty of this, I think, in lots of ways. But I know that there's people a lot more worse, or a lot worse than I am. When he says, did I use lightness? Does Paul need to lighten up? Does he need to toss out a few jokes? I remember back when I was doing the Song of Solomon, and our ladies were finally getting told that they were mules, or they weren't a good horse or whatever, comparing to horses and that whole thing. And I ducked behind the pulpit because I knew some of those ladies were shooting darts back at me. So I dumped down behind the pulpit. Well, was that lightness? Was it kind of diffusing the moment, or was I just being sarcastic and rude? Probably that. Paul didn't do that. Paul just told the truth. As I said to people in the past, that becoming a pastor took away my sense of humor. I didn't have the funnies like I used to have when I was teaching in schools and stuff. But you know, like Paul says, we need to be sober-minded. This is serious stuff we're dealing with here. I was watching the Senate thing today for a couple minutes, how they're talking about this health care bill thing and they're just denying obvious questions. The government is just stealing and just ripping off deceit to the max right in front of everybody. And it was horrible. So, do we need to do things? Do we lighten things up? No, we're in some serious times here. There's people I know of that want to get married. They want to have children. I understand that. These are some tough times. There's those of us out there that have children, have grandchildren. I got an email today from somebody who watched their former people they were with. They found them they got into this Facebook thing and they found what they are. And they're devastated with the life that they're living. Something's happening to Christians. We know what's happening. It's very serious. How could a father be what a father is? It's serious, sober stuff. This is sobering what's going on in our homes. And Paul didn't use lightness. And he says also there, do I purpose according to the flesh? Am I doing this out of the flesh? Am I doing things fleshy to get you to respond? Am I gonna crank up the music? Am I gonna sing up the kind of stuff where we get the people to get their flesh excited?
He says that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay. Either it's yes or it's no. Can you imagine that way? Yes or no. That's the way it should be, according to Paul. That's the way it is. So, lightness is a tough deal. I find myself sometimes being too light. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5. He says, "For neither at any time use we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness." So Paul didn't flatter people. He used plain speech, plainness of speech, sound doctrine, words of truth, soberness. He didn't flatter people. I've noticed it's been, I think, 30-some years since I started teaching, put it that way. 1972, I started teaching. 72, 82, 90, wait a minute. 72 to 82, 82 to 92, 92 to 2002. Wow. That's a long time. Anyway, I have to flatter these kids to get them to think that they're doing all right so they go to the next stage of their learning. It's very frustrating. You find yourself flattering kids, flattering your parents, flattering people. Do you need to be flattered to know that you're, that you're loved? Do you need to be flattered to be told the truth? Does your pastor need to flatter you so you come? Is that what they do up in those pulpits? They're flattering people all over this country. They wouldn't dare tell them the truth. What are you doing going to that? What'd you go to that movie for? And then you tell them. It's a Hindu, that's a savior, it's an Antichrist preparation movie. And you know, did you take your kids? No. Well, why didn't you take your kids? Well, if you can go, your kids can go. If you can't go, your kids shouldn't go. It's the kind of movie your kids shouldn't see, then neither should you. That's not very flattering, though, is it? Look at Jude, verse 15. Now, we're running down here in time here, so we're getting down to the end here. I like Jude because there's things in Jude that will be tribulation, obviously, and yet we're seeing it happen more and more. You hear me talk about that all the time. Let's just read verse 15. "To execute judgment upon all, and to convince," not convict, "but to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." We're hearing more and more anti-God speeches. We're hearing more and more anti-Christianity stuff. We're getting close to the tribulation. One of the senators today read something out of the Bible. Wasn't the King James Bible. There's no power in that. God is not going to back up those words. He read out of Timothy. Meant nothing. Wasn't the King James Bible. They're against the truth. They're against the King James Bible. They're against God. They're against, which is exactly what the Antichrist is stated about in Daniel chapter 12. We know that. Hard speeches. Hard speeches is they're really bold and blunt. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" When you're bewitched, you're tricked. You're subtly tricked. "Enticing words, words of man's wisdom, lightness," you know, humor, jesting kind of stuff. Just kind of gets people to come, trick them, entice them. "Flattery, fair speeches, good words." That's what's bewitching people today. Movies. Enticing, man's wisdom, fleshy, books you can buy, they flatter you all the time. God has a purpose for you, and it's a marvelous purpose, and they just slap butter all over you. And the people buy the books, and they pierce themselves through with many sorrows because they're looking for money. It's a money issue. Anyway, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? It was a year ago you were against us. How come now you're not? Who bewitched you? Who beguiled you? Who tricked you? What kind of flattering words or vain words or good speeches talked you out of what you stand for? What are you doing jumping in the pool now? What are you doing watching movies? You wouldn't do those a year ago." We're all in this boat. We're all in this boat. "Latter times, some shall depart from the faith." We're in this long enough, we start giving up. We can't give up.
not when we recognize the enemy, how close it is. That's in 1 Timothy 4, 1-2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. We've been tricked. We've been seduced. And you tell somebody that, they get mad at you. That's the thing that bothers me. That King James Bible is plain as can be. Plain as a speech. Fourth, fifth, sixth grade syllable words. One syllable words. Two syllable words. It's not hard to understand this thing. Why are we going the direction we're going, many of us, with our Christianity? Are we compromising, or are we just learning how to be out in the world? We have to be out in the world. The men have to be out in the world. You ladies don't. Your curse is at home for your husband and having children, and boy, it hurts. That's what I've been told. Our curse is to go to work, and to work in this world, this perverted world, and take care of our family. That's been our curse. It's been a while since I said this, but why do you ladies want both curses? And I'm really sorry that you're forced into it in some situations. Keepers at home doesn't mean you go to work from 8 to 5 and then come home and you keep do the housekeeping. That kind of stinking thinking. There we go, stinking thinking. There we go. Anyway. And then we got this one, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. What about our speech? What are we supposed to do? This was Paul. Well, we're supposed to follow Paul, so we can learn from these things. We don't need to use flattering words. We don't need to be light about all this stuff. This is serious stuff we're talking about here. We shouldn't have to entice people. You know, we don't have to entice your children. We shouldn't have to use vain words and fair speeches and good words. That's pressure. Have somebody do a sermon sometime. Oh, I don't think I can do a sermon. What do you mean you can't do a sermon? Study your Bible, God will show you something, and then tell us about it. You don't need to go to hermeneutics class or whatever. Just speak halfway decent English. Don't try to entice people. Don't try to flatter them. Just tell them what the Bible says. That's all it is. Anyway, Colossians 4, 6. Let your speech be always with grace. I'm not good at that at times either. Seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Somebody asks you something, or a situation comes about, or whatever comes about. Deal with it with grace, but make sure there's truth in there somewhere. That's that seasoned with salt. Because that truth is gonna stink them. But you need to do that. That's what Paul says. Let your speech be always with grace. Well, of course. No anger, all that kind of stuff. He's against all that stuff. Seasoned with salt. And that's how you answer people. You can still answer them with the truth, but you got to have grace when you're telling them. They can't handle it. They're joking gag. Now, that's it for plainness of speech. Let me just do one more letter P word here. And it's a quick one. And that's the word peculiar. Because it kind of ties into what we're trying to do here. Peculiar. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, which everybody does, and they think that that's referring to us as the Gentiles, the Christians, the Church of God, the saved people. And it's not. It's not. He says, 1 Peter 2, 9, starts right off with, but ye are a chosen generation. Right there tells me that's not the Gentiles. And you're supposed to say things like, duh, to this person. I guess that's not with grace, though, is it? No, it's not. We're not a chosen generation. We're not a royal priesthood. That priesthood stuff, the Baptist teachings of the priesthood of the believers, it's a fact that we can go to God, but that's not till tribulation, the actual priest. Anyway, whatever. We can't be using that verse in the Baptistic teachings. How about unholy nation? Gentiles are a holy nation? You've got to be kidding me. A peculiar people. Okay, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. Okay, the rest could fit if you want to try to fit it into the jar, but that's not written to us. So that's not the verse we go to for being peculiar people. We go to Titus chapter 2. Ah, Paul says, yes, he does. He does say peculiar people. But he doesn't say we're a chosen generation. He doesn't say anything about a royal priesthood. He says nothing about a holy nation. So let's take people to the right verse and show them, yes, today, we are to be a peculiar people too. Now look at, here's why, here's how. Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. Zealous of good works. That's us. Now, how does this tie into the plainness of speech? Very simple. Peculiar means this. Appropriate. Belonging to a person and to him only. Particular.
special, belonging to a nation or a system, and not to others, not common to others. If we're going to use plainness of speech, and if we're going to try to follow what the Paul's manner of life is, and you're going to dress the way you know you ought to dress, and you're not going to do things you know you shouldn't do, and you're going to be very bold about it when you say to somebody, I'm not going to do that, that's not the right thing, or whatever you're going to, how are you going to deal with this stuff? You are making yourself very peculiar. Not odd, not weird, like Festa says, you're mad, Paul. No, you're sticking to the family you belong to. And that's Jesus Christ, the risen Savior, through Paul, King James Bible, the manner of life based on Paul. Yes, there's grace. But the grace is only there to help us when we stumble trying to do right. It's not there as a ticket back into the world. The grace that we have is not a ticket to do the things that somebody's going to make you or ask you to do. Plainness of speech is what we need to have with people. Don't be afraid to tell them. Don't be afraid to say it straight and simple. Pull out a Bible verse, whatever, why you believe what you believe, and don't be afraid to tell them. Just don't be afraid to tell them. Paul uses plainness of speech. Not fair speeches, not good words, not vain words, not enticing words, not words of man's wisdom, not lightness, humor, fleshy, not flattering. We're talking to people that have hard speeches, getting harder and harder against the truth. And we're in the process of being bewitched. If we're not careful, you'll be bewitched. So don't be afraid to be that peculiar person, even if you're the only one in your family. Even if you're the only one, not even amongst the family, because you have no family. The single person. Don't be afraid to be peculiar at your workplace. Don't be afraid to be peculiar in a school. That's where I'm at. Just use wisdom. Don't be afraid. So, there you go for the night. That should do it. From the Black Hills, the Badlands, the prairies of western South Dakota, where Wild Bill Hickok and Calamity Jane were famous. Criminals, whores, crumpy. But we still have cowboys out here, by the way. Just outside of town, we got people riding the range. Good old-fashioned chap-wearing, snake-biting, snake-eating cowboys out there. Not me, but there you go. We'll talk to you Wednesday, if not sooner, with emails and things. Good to have you there tonight.